Now, I wanted this service to be more informal and participatory, and I actually planned not to even have any kind of sheet, and then it dawned on me that if we sang anything other than the doxology, we probably need some words. And I didn't feel like bringing those hymnals back over here. And we don't have a piano in this location. We're going to be doing an a cappella. But I thought, you're going to need some words. You can't hide behind the music. And so I started praying it out, and I thought, well, I'll just do a little sketch, and next thing you know, I've got a little order of worship. However, to keep the informality going, I did not assign parts. And so what I want to do now, in this informal fashion, is to ask you, who will lead the call to worship? Not Grayson.
Jack
will lead the call to worship. Jacqueline has already agreed to lead the singing. That's okay. Y'all are all off the hook. The opening prayer.
Over here.
Did I hear Barbara? Barbara will do the opening. You're going to do the opening prayer. The Old Testament reading. Anybody got a Bible this morning?
Edwin.
Okay. And the New Testament lesson. Chris? All right. Okay. Let us begin our worship. Jack, would you lead us?
God's power and righteousness reach the high heavens, and done great things on earth. From the depths of the earth, he brings us up.
We will praise you, O God, for your faithfulness. Our lips will shout for joy, and our tongues will talk of your righteous acts, though their number is past our knowledge.
O God, your people hope continually, and worship you yet more and more.
Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see. Only thou art holy, there is none beside thee. Perfect in power, in love and purity.
Okay, Barbara, you'll use them.
Let us pray. This is the celebration of a new Community Baptist Church for 4 years and the way of walkful life. And we have signed our covenant a couple years ago saying we're going to walk our life every day, not just on Sunday, but Monday through Sunday. And that's been my faith every day, and that helps me gone through some difficult times of my year. And I hope that's the same for you. May God bless everybody in the new community group, and may we continue forward and celebrate 4 more years after the death.
David the king came and sat before the Lord and said, Who am I, O Lord God, and what is mine house that thou hast brought me hitherto. And yet this was a small thing in thine eyes, O God, for thou hast also spoken of thy servant's house for a great while to come, and hast regarded me according to the estate of a man of high degree, O Lord God. What can David speak more to thee for the honor of thy servant? For thou knowest thy servant. O Lord, for thy servant's sake, and according to thine own heart, hast thou done all this greatness, in making known all these great things. O Lord, there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people Israel, whom God went to redeem to be his own people, to make thee a name of greatness and terribleness, by driving out nations from before thy people, whom thou hast redeemed out of Egypt. For thy people Israel didst thou make thine own people forever, and thou, Lord, becamest their God. Therefore now, Lord, let the thing that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house be established forever, and do as thou hast said. Let it even be established that thy name may be magnified forever, saying, The Lord of hosts is the God of Israel, even a God to Israel. And let the house of David, thy servant, be established before thee. For thou, O my God, hast told thy servant that thou wilt build him an house. Therefore thy servant hath found in his heart to pray before thee. And now, Lord, thou art God, and hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Now, therefore, let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may be before thee forever. For thou blessest, O Lord, and it shall be blessed forever.
And would like for the children to take up the offering during the singing of this hymn.
God be the glory, great things he hath done, so loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be a wonder of victory when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has.
Let us hold fast. 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 In the presence of our hope, let wavering. For he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but considering encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. For if we sin deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice of sin, but a fearful prospect of judgment and a fury of fire which will consume the adversary. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that you may do the will of God and receive what was promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one shall come and shall not tarry. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. We are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and keep their souls. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it men of old received divine approval. By faith we understand that the world was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was made out of things which do not appear.
The writer here in the book of Hebrews says we are not among those who shrink back and thus are lost. We're among those who move forward by faith and so are saved. However, that doesn't mean you can't remember and look back. And as we do that this morning, I think just walking into this place after being away almost 4 years brings back a lot of memories. And so I want to ask you what came to your mind as you were preparing to come today, and what came to your mind as you entered here. What are some of your earliest memories of that beginning of this community of faith in this place? What do you remember? What's an incident, word spoken, that you recall? Let's open it up.
Met a lot of people I didn't know real well beforehand.
Yeah. That was amazing to me. I hadn't thought about that, but to realize that many of you had never even seen each other, even though you're in the same congregation, it was that large.
All I could think about was, what am I doing? You know, after 41 years, one place, you know, what am I doing here? How did I get here?
Right.
That crossed my mind a lot. Yeah.
I think we were fortunate because I think a lot of us have grown a lot since we, left Derbyshire. The message has been very clear and very good. So I feel very fortunate to be here.
What were some of the things that were different?
I didn't have a pipe organ anymore.
Exactly.
I didn't put that out on the table.
And you still haven't gotten over that, have you?
I haven't.
You didn't have a piano.
That's right.
You didn't even have a piano because we had a keyboard, you remember, that Betsy McElmurray allowed us. And we took turns, you know, different ones, Margaret and Rhonda and Betsy, and different ones played.
But she's so talented.
One thing about Derbyshire, and now we don't have a commitment. And we could choose anybody we want to choose, do things. And I think that works out better than having a commitment for 3 years. Because that's how I was at Kenner Park. We had commitment things for 3 years. And this way, you know, we don't have to do it. And uh-huh. We don't feel like we're under a lot of pressure.
Right. Margaret?
One of the differences I see is we have bigger children.
You're not talking about some of us, are you? You're talking about the young ones when you look at the picture out there.
And to see them contributing in ways that they incorporate.
And one of the things that early on was just amazing to everyone was that the children took up offering. I mean, I'd always been in congregations where you had to be a deacon to do that. Or in the previous congregation, you had to be an usher to do it. But you had to have some other role to officially put you in the position of offering taker. And here it was the children, and we still practice that.
Mm-hmm. One thing I think is remarkable is the baggage we've been able to
shed,
set aside, and not worry about. We're able to focus, because of that, we're free to focus on more important things.
Yeah, right.
And I'm just so thankful that we have baby form. I can remember when the day Leslie and Marlon came back from Costa Rica, and Leslie brought Ian here, I think it was 6 months old, and Rachel and Cliff had their baby, and then we got baby Grayson. And, it's just wonderful to watch our congregation grow.
You're right. By that means, the babies, that has been a delight. You know who the very first baby born in New Community was?
Rachel's baby?
The very first baby.
Campbell.
Barrett.
Barrett, that's right.
2 days before Christmas.
Yeah.
Of 2010. It's been wonderful, to have Johnny and Michelle and Grayson to come in and join us. Jeff and Jackie to join us, who could not be here today, but for them to come in, it's good to see this kind of new face. I'll also, just to get on mine, I'll just quickly mention that the very first one of our congregation, faithful to New Community, who died was Georgie Olive. I think in February of 2011, a very faithful lady. I remember where she sat in our services and was very faithful. This is Carol Burton and Jane Volker's mother. And then we went for, goodness, 3 years without a death. And then Doc Dean in the spring of last year, Jim Baxter in July, and then Bill Dean in October. And I I've done funerals my entire life, but what I've discovered is that in a smaller community, the funerals have a different level of meaning. In other words, it's not just like one right after the other, and as close as I can get to people as a pastor, there's just something about a smaller community that it's shared more intimately. Because, as Laura said, we didn't necessarily know each other this way, and now we do. And so you approach it differently. So I just wanted to note that. What else did you, as you came in this morning, do you remember about having been here before? Bill?
What really stands out was the determination everyone had to make a church, to be a church. And I think about all the work that went into the food preparation and making sure we had our Wednesday night meals and everyone coming. I remember we were talking about the music not being here, but you mentioned truth. We didn't have a pastor when we started. And we had to start kind of from scratch as to how we have a service and how we pull that together. And Jim, I remember you pulling some aside in one of our early meetings, and we had to start having to do an order of service. And who's gonna be bringing the message? So there was a lot of things that we kind of started from scratch those first few weeks that came together.
At the end of September, Beth and I were away at the beach, and it actually was a time when the hurricane came through there and flooded everything. And I remember getting some email that was bouncing around as you were trying to get a name. Do you remember that? And all kind of names were being floated around. I'll tell you, some of them were horrible. And some of them were very good, including the one that was finally decided upon. But I remember just sort of like an overhearer reading those emails and seeing that correspondence going back and forth.
Keith, I'll make a comment. I want to need some help on who was our first speaker. Do you remember?
Randy Ashcraft.
Ashcraft. So what Bill just said is that we were in the wilderness, we were lost. We didn't know exactly who we were or where we were going or what was going to happen. And just like this morning, when you said, we need some volunteers, that's exactly how it happened in those days, if you remember. And all through this, I can tell you, those early days, I felt that we were in the right place. I felt God's hand on us. I didn't feel tension, and yet I felt tension. I want to see, what are we doing and where are we going and what's happening? And that first sermon, Randy stood up and said, do you remember this? Take a deep breath. It'll be okay. And he went on and talked about how God's hand works and how he was on us. And he ended his sermon, you remember this? Talking about his mother's soup that she cooked and how she put various ingredients in it to make this very rich soup. And she likened, he likened the soup to us, the little spirit, the little body, and so forth. So my shoulders dropped a little bit. I felt a little easy. It was wonderful.
I can remember someone, I don't know who, asked me. They asked me if I would read the scripture. And I said, I thought about it. And I thought, yes, I'll read the scripture. Nobody knows me, and I don't know anybody.
Well, that was a big change, wasn't it? That all of a sudden you're the readers, all of a sudden you're the prayers, all of a sudden you're the ones who have this responsibility to sing. And you've obviously done it well because you're doing it this morning so well. All right.
One of the members that we lost, I don't believe you mentioned, was Mr. Shepherd.
Yes, I'm sorry. Yeah, Charlie Shepherd. Yeah. That was inadvertent.
Mr. Shepherd, I think, was the second one.
He was the second.
And his son attended our Christmas Eve celebrations for 3 or 4 years in a row.
In fact, Ed and Judy, Ed Shepherd, is pastor at Beulah Baptist out in King William. And he and his wife, Judy, come every year and have. And this year they had their daughter Samantha with them. Let me tell you a quick story about Charlie. I went to see him. He was in one of the... He was in two or three different assisted living facilities, but I went to see him one day, and I came off the elevator, and I was searching for the rooms and how the numbers went and whatever, and I heard him. And he was around the corner, and as I was going around the corner, he was obviously talking with someone, and it turned out to be a nurse who was there. And he said, not knowing that I was there, he said, yes, and my church is New Community, and I'm proud of it. And he was just testifying about this community. And when I walked up, he says, and by the way, there's my pastor. And I said, I vouch for him. He's telling the truth. He wasn't able, because of his health, to be here other than just a few times, but very much was committed to a New Community. I know somebody else had a hand up, but thank you, Bobby.
We drive a different way to church now.
Does it still work?
Some days. It depends on who's driving.
I do remember that Bob drove us the first time that we came. We, of course, needed some time to rest and got away for a couple of weeks and had a couple of months to kind of process things and rest and begin to heal. But Bob Dale called us up and said that he would come by and pick us up and he would drive us here for the first time we came. We appreciated that. And then there was the reunion with you all and the warm embrace that we got from you, which felt very good at a very painful time. One other memory I have that's very distinct was, I don't know how long, maybe we had been here a few months, and Ruth and Lacey came through that front door. We were all gathered out there as we did every Sunday. And Ruth, as she always has that twinkle in her eye, and just came bursting through the door. I'll never forget it. And she said, "We found you." And I don't know how you found us, but I will never forget that.
The road leads in all kind of different directions to get here, doesn't it? Yes, Barbara?
Music has been affecting me every Sunday. I don't know why, but has sort of filled the presence of God, and her music that she gets together, and it really helps out through a difficult period during the week. Right. You know, when you have to work and all this, as being a housewife and a mom, and a, you know, my mom, we all like the music that a lot of us.
Amen. Amen.
She uses both hands.
I don't use my feet anymore.
But you want to, don't you? Jacqueline?
I remember the first night that we came, it was a Wednesday. And I already had a little bit of anxiety because I had a one-year-old, then on up, three,
five,
six. That in itself. But I remember that first Wednesday night, there was this sense that we belonged together, and we didn't understand it at all. But I can actually remember some conversations with Scott and had the gym in preparing to extend the invitation for those of us who God would gather to come on Wednesday night. And even with the fear and the sadness and the pain, we were all right out there, and then we ate. We ate kind of all over in there, and then we went in the other room that we started out in. And there was a comfort in there of just being amongst one another. So all that stuff that we felt, I had somewhere deep down inside me a sense of comfort and peace, and I didn't know what would happen. I mean, be standing here today, but when I came today with a 5-year-old, a 7-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 10-year-old, they were actually helping us take everything out of the car with their hands rather than us carrying them in. And now I know where that deep down inside, that comfort and that peace was coming from in God, and how much that He's taught us, and that we actually now know, rather than thinking we would start a church, we know that God has started the church in us. And so I just, I can just tell him my whole countenance. It's just that joy. I have such assurance today. So that's what I'm, when you say, what do you remember?
Yes, Rose?
I remember I would drive to Derbyshire to Sunday school and church. Came here. Forrest and Rhonda said, "Oh, no, you're not. Oh, no, you're not. We'd never find you." Now that I'm not driving again, he has been driving me to Sunday school and church to save my gas.
And they know where to find you. Right. Bobby?
I remember the ordinations, and I think those were very meaningful.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Right. Yep. Let me go over here, then I'll come back.
So I have less time with you. But one thing that stands up was one time we met over at the Aaronson. I was making a comment that there was a pile of stones, there was a pile of rocks on the deck, and how it reminded me of one of the stories in the Old Testament about how the priests would take the rocks out of the middle of the.
Mm-hmm. That's in Joshua, right? Yeah, exactly. Here,
middle of the river.
You've got it right.
The waters, yeah, they took the rocks to remind them of what God had done. There's that pile of rocks that kind of reminded me of that story. So we shared that at that meeting, and you had said that at some point you had collected rocks. So I think that's just meaningful. It's just a reminder of what God has done in that community.
Yeah. Thank you. Sherry.
Well, this was when we were back in Derbyshire. I'd been praying for a long time for something to change, because I was just miserable in the choir at Derbyshire. I don't know why exactly, but I just wasn't happy. I didn't like it, and kept saying, you know, please change things at Derbyshire, or find me a place to fit in. And because I thought your sermons were great. It's all her fault. Well, anyway, then we came here, and we really don't have a choir, which is, you know, we have some people that sing, thank heavens, and we have Rhonda, who does everything and gets us good things. That I am very happy here, and I hope we stay together.
Thank you. Jacqueline?
Can I be quiet?
Sure.
I wanted to go back to the first Sunday, talk about Wednesday night, but the first Sunday, we were over there, and there was such intention around how we were setting up the room, and so that was different, is that we were actually completely setting up the room, because it was simply set up as a training room with tables. So we had to push all those out of the way and set it up into rows, and we had our guests who would come and preach that we've talked about. I think Bill's father would come at some point, and Mr. Burhans would come, and we mentioned Randy, and Charles Chandler came, and so God provided with them. And we talked a little bit about this, but to see all of us in our different roles, I do remember one Sunday I went up there and I had Hal on my hip, I think, is did the call to worship. But I remember we would had the keyboard there, and Melanie, I remember you playing keyboard at some point, and I know for an extended time, Margaret, you were playing the keyboard for us. And when we were in worship, leading one another, we were all actively participating. I couldn't tell any difference in terms of that. We were all working really hard, but we were doing what we were supposed to, and we were worshiping God. And I think that we would do that, and then we would all, again, continuing to work together, we would change the room again, and we would set it up for lunch. And I think that was one of the gifts we all received, is that we could extend our time of worship into Christian fellowship and worship with Sue and everyone. It was so simple because everyone brought their own. But even after that, we all then put our hands together and cleaned up the room and put it back the way it was. You all remembering that? And this, someone said this to me this morning, I think, Emily, remember the vacuum cleaner?
Yeah.
Did you ever raise your hand if you remember pushing the vacuum cleaner? Yeah. The army vacuum?
Wives saw husbands vacuuming when they had never done it before at home.
That's right. I remember him pushing and how shattered his feet. Right at the door. But what I wanted to say is that in seeing us actively engaged in leading the worship and then having the meal together, that for me was a crumbling of interpreting the church as a building, where I actually was able to see the church as the people in the hands and the working together. And we were there because God brought us.
Beth mentioned that we came on a Wednesday night. It was a stormy day. Bob remembers because we talked by phone. In our neighborhood particularly, the wind shear was so great that toppled trees, power lines were down. He could not get into our section of the neighborhood to pick us up, to bring us. We had waited 2 months, and yet we knew that we needed to be part of a community of faith. My theology requires it. But also I knew that I needed to come where I could find people that I trusted. My trust was shot. And yet, you know, wondering, what is this about? But we knew we needed to come, and so Bob was gracious enough to pick us up. We had to walk through neighbors' yards to meet him on another street in order to make it. But we came, and we were so delighted to be here among you and to find people who could help us as we recovered. And I think we have Jew as well. I don't know if you remember this, but we did a retreat in which Beverly Buston helped us to process what we had gone through in the transition. And I know so many of you, like the Wyndhams and the Poors and many others, had decades invested, and yet you left and you came here and you're still here. I don't, you remember that I said I will lead in worship and I will preach and I will teach. And I began in January at that turning that we did four years ago this month. I began to teach about the church. I had been teaching about the church previously, but I wanted to bring that here, and I put that out, and you didn't flinch. You didn't. You took it. And you said, yes, we're the church. And you may recall also that I said, well, I'm going to take months to decide about the calling that I have and that you have and whether or not that meshes and that I will be your pastor. And it was only until May that we made that commitment with one another. By that point, I had seen that you had not flinched. You had not shrunk back in all of this preaching and teaching about the church. In recent months, 6 or 8 months, I've been preaching about the teaching-learning community, the necessity of theological education in the local congregation, which is of absence. It's a void now in congregations. And yet, to be people of faith, specifically the Christian faith, we have to be biblical theologically trained. And it is almost from scratch that we have to do that. And you've heard me speak very strongly about that, because I'm very convicted about that. And I've seen it again. You've not flinched. Well, you flinched a little bit. But
we don't understand some of the words you use.
Yes, right. Right. I would call it a blink. What I'm saying to you is what the writer in Hebrews is saying to the congregation. He says, you know, it's a matter of being faithful. It's not a matter of accomplishing tasks. It's not a matter of moving ahead and we did this and we did that and whatever. It's a matter of being faithful to who you are and how you've been called. And he encouraged them, we need not to move back, shrink back. We need to provoke one another, he says, provoke one another to worship, because some are shrinking back. We need to encourage one another. Hang in there. Now, their situation is much more dire in that there was the likelihood of persecution. And he says at one point, you've not come to the time of bloodshed. Things are heating up, but you've not yet come to that kind of tragic situation. So you can, you know, imagine if you are having a hard time persevering now, how are you going to do it when there is persecution unto bloodshed and martyrdom? We don't have any of that as a problem. Our problem in our culture as Christian communities is that of apathy and lethargy, of that of going to sleep and that of not knowing. Just not knowing, and it doesn't matter. And as I have pushed upon you the urgency of being a community that learns and a community that teaches, and then now reaching out to bring in others who will learn and be taught and then become teachers. I'm very excited about what we're beginning next week. The adult Bible study on Sunday morning will be paralleled and duplicated by what Jacqueline is doing. She'll take the adult material and translate it for older children, and then Melanie and Emily will take that for our younger children. That's unprecedented. I've never done this before. But we're going to learn together. And I'm very, very interested and excited about that. But it's more than that. It is truly becoming the kind of congregation that takes the faith seriously and that says we need to be people who can understand that faith and we can articulate it as our witness. And that's vital in this day and time in which we live. And so I look at you and I see, as at this point, we are not among those who shrink back and so are lost. We are among those who have faith. Faith just simply means moving on, moving forward, not shrinking back. and thus are saved. Let us give thanks. Let the people of God give thanks. And the way I want to do this is I will have a sentence to open it, and then we're going to have sentence prayers of thanksgiving. Just from wherever you are, one sentence you would share, and then when we've run the course of our praying together as a community, then I will finish with one sentence. Holy God, hear the prayers of thanksgiving that rise up from those whom you have called and led thus far.
Thank you, God, for all that we've learned in this new church.
Thank you, God, for all the friends that I have found in this church that I did not have in Virginia before.
Thank you, Lord, for keeping us all that we have learned. And may we allow God to use us in whatever endeavors He has for each of us.
Thank you, God, for the opportunity to give you praise one more time.
Thank you, God, for all our faith and let us continue to grow.
Thank you, God, for the call to be your church, for everyone here that is answering that call.
Thank you, Father, that your almighty hand and steady guide has been on our back.
Thank you, God, for the strength you've given each of us to understand your will and direction.
Thank you for these times of remembrance.
Thank you, God, for helping us to make a difference in each other's lives as we grow closer to you. And thank you for those who aren't with us anymore but share their faith with us.
Thank you, Father, for placing in our midst those who will step forward and do the jobs that need to be taken care of.
Thank you, God, for your love, your presence, and your faithfulness.
Lord, we thank you for giving us the knowledge to leave a bad situation and to be willing to start over again.
Lord, it is your goodness and your greatness, your wisdom and your strength that cause these prayers of thanksgiving to be prayed. Continue to watch over us and strengthen us that we will by faith move forward and not shrink back. Following Jesus as our Lord and Savior. comment. Jacqueline, let's see.
Blessings flow, praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
And may God, with His Spirit of perseverance, guide you forth to His glory and honor now and forever. Amen.